Welcome again to the first week of Advent. We're happy if you're joining us through Facebook or if you're here in person, or perhaps you may be catching us at another time through our YouTube link. While there are many department stores that will make you believe that the day after Halloween is the official beginning of the Christmas season, today marks the first of four Sundays we call Advent. Did you know that in the first few centuries of the church, there was no Christmas celebration? All the focus was on Easter and the second coming. In fact, the date for Christmas was not established until about 335 BC. And it was sometime after this that we begin to see the first documented evidence of celebrating four Sundays of Advent. Now, scholars today believe that the Christmas date was more likely to be in the springtime in March, but it doesn't change what and why we celebrate Christmas. Advent is a celebration of God's love. Advent is a celebration of faith. Advent is a celebration of God's gift. Advent is a celebration of the life of Jesus. Advent is a celebration of God's promises. Advent is supposed to bring us hope, bring us joy, and bring us peace. But the older I get, the harder it seems to find hope, to find joy, or find peace. Life itself brings chaos. Whether it's kids, grandkids, decorations, celebrations to get ready for, things to make, things to bake, things to cook, gifts to buy, gifts to wrap, and all of the other holiday obligations. And then we add to that family dynamics. Isn't family fun sometimes? And sometimes it's about who was invited, who was coming, who's not coming, and maybe we get a surprise about who is bringing who. And if Christmas alone wasn't chaotic, how about adding health concerns? And if it's not your health concerns, the health concerns of a loved one. Because health concerns can add a whole new layer of what you can or can't do, where you can or can't be, how long you have to stay here or there. And now let's pile on a pandemic. Let's pile on shortages in every store. Let's pile on increasing prices. Let's pile on a political divide, the left blaming the right and the right blaming the left. And before we know it, we ask, what happened to Christmas? What happened to slowing down? What happened to special moments? What happened to peace, love, and joy? And instead of peace, love, and joy, we often find friction, conflict, and disappointment. And the root behind all of these problems is fear. Fear can be very powerful. Fear can produce a range of emotions and responses in us. It can actually motivate us at times, but it can certainly paralyze us. By nature, it can create what is known as fight or flight. Some people withdraw in the face of fear, and some people act out. Some people panic, and some people gain courage. In states of emergency, such as an accident scene, a fire in a building, or action in the military, I have seen people freeze and do nothing. I have seen people go into a frantic state and literally go in circles doing nothing. I have seen people freak out and practically run over anyone in their way to escape. And I have seen people who are cool, calm, collective, and courageous. And what is amazing that sometimes the people you expect to be courageous end up being the ones who panic. And the person you least expect steps up and takes control of the situation. It is amazing how a person can have no fear in one situation and then have total fear in another. In a survey conducted by Chapman University in January of this year, people were surveyed to ask if they have fear or high fear of certain things. And nearly 80% of the people surveyed said they feared corrupt government officials. And the remaining, all of them, between 50 and 60% of the people in the survey feared things like people they love dying, a loved one contracting COVID-19, widespread civil unrest, and economic or financial collapse. And we can also fear many other things and situations beyond this list. Look at the fear surrounding the last few elections. Look what fear and uncertainty does to a stock market. Look at the fear and panic in stores during the pandemic as people went out and hoarded supplies. And then it's a whole different kind of fear when you hear the factory you've been at for decades closes. It's a whole different kind of fear when the doctor says, cancer. It's a whole different kind of fear when you lose your kid in the mall. It's a whole different kind of fear when a spouse is talking about divorce. There's a different kind of fear when your teenager starts driving, starts dating, goes to college, or gets married. And when you look at many of these fears, the fear of the unknown is often the common denominator, because we like to be in control, don't we? We like situations where we know the likely outcome. Each of us have our own little safe zone. Now, there is a small segment of people who love being risk takers. They get a big thrill from stepping out and taking big risk. But for most of us, we'll take just being okay over taking risks into the unknown, won't we? The rewards can be higher with greater risks, but also are the greater the consequences. Mary was asked to take a big risk and trust God. And then the Christmas story we all know so very well, the angel comes to Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." I'm not sure how I'd react to seeing the angel Gabriel. I can only imagine it being quite startling, probably a bit dumbfounding, maybe fearful amazement. Maybe I'd be wondering, is this real? Maybe wondering if this is a good or bad thing. I mean, imagine sitting in your living room, you're all alone, the entire family is out, and you look out the window to see a state highway patrol car or a sheriff car pulling into your driveway. The officer gets out with a piece of paper in his hand, and the officer is walking up to your door. What's going through your mind? I think for most of us, a bit of fear might come upon us, wouldn't it? I mean, all of a sudden, we start wondering, what could this possibly mean? Am I in trouble? Was there a car wreck? Is someone hurt? Is he here to warn us about an emergency? Is there an escaped convict? And as we open the door, wouldn't it help if we heard, "Don't be afraid, don't worry"? Wouldn't that ease some of your concerns right away? Now let's amp that up to an angel appearance. Mary had to wonder, why would an angel visit her? Was this real? Was she going mad? Was something wrong? What could this angel possibly want to say to this young, quiet girl? Some angels brought good news, but as anyone who knew the scriptures know, that angels could certainly bring bad news, and some angels even brought death. But this isn't the only occasion where God assures his people with a message of do not be afraid. He told Abraham, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. He told Hagar, do not be afraid. I will make your son into a great nation. He told Jacob, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid. I am with you. There are about 365 incidents where people in the Bible are told, do not be afraid or fear not. That's a lot of times, isn't it? But there's good reason for that. Because in life, we are scared of a lot of things, especially the future and the unknown. And when God calls us, the key word being when God calls us, for each of us have a calling, the calling is usually outside of our comfort zone. Sometimes the calling is to sit and wait patiently because he is in control of the situation. And let me tell you, for someone like me, that's out of my comfort zone. It's very hard for me to sit and wait for God. But sometimes the calling is to step out and be daring, to give up comfort and security, to go and do the unknown. But either way, the message from God is, do not be afraid. God says, do not be afraid because what I have is greater than what you have now. Do not be afraid because I am in control. Think about that. Do not be afraid because God has greater things for us. Do not be afraid because he is in control. The same message is given to Zechariah in the Christmas story when he is told that his son would be John the Baptist. The same message given to Joseph and to Mary. The same message that was given to the shepherds. The same message that Jesus gave to his disciples when he called them. He said, do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. The same message Jesus gave to a grieving father. He said, don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed. The same message he told his followers in this passage of Luke chapter 12. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledged me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. See, Jesus tells us here in this passage and in many other scriptures, do not worry, do not fear the things of this world. Focus on the eternal. No matter how much the world piles on you, the world cannot take away your eternal promises. Even when things seem to be out of control right now, do not fear, because in the end, God is in control. and on the night that Jesus was going to be crucified, he knew it wasn't going to be easy for his disciples, and he shared his eternal promises, and he said in John 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus says, take heart, don't worry, have no fear, I got this. And this was Jesus' prayer the night before he was crucified, not for his disciples, but for us. John 17, verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, and I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus prayed for us. Isn't that something? Jesus, the Son of God, prayed for us. Prayed for us to be together in unity. Prayed for us to be together through our faith in Jesus Christ. For Jesus is with us. That is the story of Christmas. Emmanuel, that word means God with us. And if we have God with us, and I mean not just around us, but in us. If we have God in us, then what do we have to fear? Did you know our mission is the same as Mary's? Have no fear, because you are bringing the Messiah to this world. That's our mission, the same as Mary's. Now, Mary faced ridicule. Mary faced shame. She had to travel harsh roads. She even faced potential death. Mary was not given the best of circumstances to deliver the King of Kings into this world, but she responded in faith. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. You see, the opposite of fear is faith. The opposite of fear is faith. If we want to find Christmas in the chaos, we must first have faith. We need to pause. We need to take a breath. And we need to go back to God's scriptures. We need to rediscover what Christmas is all about. Did you know there are 24 chapters in the book of Luke? So if you start on December 1st and read one chapter a day, by December 24th, you will have read the whole story of Christmas. And I'm not just talking about the birth, the whole story of his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. And when you get to chapter 24, you'll see that Jesus assures his disciples that all of God's promises will come true. And that they don't have to do all of this alone, that they have the Holy Spirit. And for the last 8 weeks, what have I been preaching about? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Christmas story is a story of salvation, the story of God coming to us, being with us, living within us, redeeming us. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. If we want to find Christmas in the chaos, we have to have faith that God is real, that the story is real. All too often, we pick up the story and we read about the manger the same way we read the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. We treat it like it's a fairy tale. But the story is real. And we have to come to real faith in Jesus Christ. And when we have real faith, when we pray to the Holy Spirit to come into us, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we get to experience Christmas. Because when we open up and say, Jesus, I need you. Come and fill me. Be with me. Then Jesus truly becomes Emmanuel. He becomes God with us. He lives and dwells in our hearts. And this is where we find peace, where we find joy, and where we find love. And when we have real faith, then no matter what else happens, we have Jesus and we have eternal life. Do you want to find Christmas in the chaos? Then we have to turn back to God. We can't depend on a Charlie Brown special to change our world. We can't depend on that one night out looking at the lights going, oh, so precious. If we really want to find Christmas in the chaos, then we have to turn back to God. We have to turn back to His Word. We have to reaffirm our faith. And we need to be obedient like Mary. As I said before, Mary was charged with bringing the Messiah into the world. You and I are charged with bringing the Messiah into the world. Because it is through your faith that others can discover Christmas in the chaos. It will be through your lack of fear that others can discover Christmas in the chaos. Can you imagine what a powerful witness that is? Oh my gosh, we can't find this, and we're trying to shop, and we're trying to do this, we're trying to do this. And you're cool as a cucumber. You have joy. You have a smile on your face and you say, yeah, and? But you know the economy's going to crash. Okay. I saw on the news this morning there's a new strain of COVID and it's going to come. Okay. Let's pray about it. Wouldn't that be a great response to somebody? Did you hear what the politician on the news said? Hey, why don't we pray about that? Do you think what that would make a powerful witness? Or is responding back with, yeah, I can't believe it too. Which is fear and which is faith? How we act and how we respond is how people see Jesus Christ. Are we going to be a people that are Emmanuel? Are we going to be a people of fear? I challenge you. And if you want to read through the book of Luke, 24 chapters, great. If you want to read the gospel story in Matthew and Luke, great. Read through it. Rediscover it. Relearn it. Re-experience it. Because when we carry Jesus within us, we don't need to fear anything. Everything of this world is temporary. Whatever this world brings, whatever the author of evil brings us, we can face it without fear. And we can have faith knowing that God can use us in every circumstance. You get sick? Well, guess what? You get to meet new people to tell Jesus about, don't you? The store doesn't have what you want. You have an opportunity to thank the clerk to being there every day and say, you don't have the gift I want on the shelf, but I have another gift that I can give you. Someone from your family calls up and says, can you believe what so-and-so did and who's going to be there? And we got to sit down and talk to them at Christmas. And you could say, let's talk to them about Jesus. Let's sit down and pray with them. Let's forgive. Let's heal. Let's not divide anymore. That's how we find Christmas in the chaos. When we go into it with faith and not fear. Let us all find Christmas in the chaos. Do not be afraid. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we've made the Christmas season about us. We've made our time about I and me. I want, I need, I expect, I deserve, I've earned, I've paid for, I've done. But Lord, in the end, it's your Son, Jesus Christ, who really did it all. Your Son, Jesus Christ, came to free us from the bondage of sin. Your Son, Jesus Christ, came to offer us grace, forgiveness. And through our faith in Jesus Christ, you have given us the eternal promises, where we know that everything that brings chaos in this world will be gone. We know that one day all of our tears will be wiped away, that we will be restored to the image you created us to be, and we'll be holy like you. Lord, let us have faith that you are in control despite all that we see now. Lord, let us not contribute to the chaos, but let us bring peace. Let us bring stability so that we can be a source of joy and comfort, so that others may know that your Son, Jesus Christ, came not to die in vain, but he came to be a conqueror. And Lord, we know from your holy scriptures that your Son will come again, that your Son will come to judge all. And Lord, we ask that through our faith that our names be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that in the end we will be part of the new earth and the new kingdom and the new heaven. And together we will share and joy and celebrate every day your great glory. Lord, let this be a Christmas like no other. Let us truly experience your Son, Jesus Christ, with us. And all of this we ask and pray in his holy name. Amen. Some of you are going, yeah, it's a lot easier to do or to say than it is to do sometimes, isn't it? Because in reality, life is hard and challenging. But God created us to be in unity with one another. You're not in this alone by any means. And if the enemy is challenging you and pushing you and stomping on you, creating pain, and you need help, I'm here. I'm here for you. We'll pray together through this. We'll walk through this together. And every day will be one day better. And look around at the empty seats. Bring somebody next week. Don't ask them to come. Say, I'm coming to pick you up at 9:50 and we're going to church. Tell them. Because I guarantee it'll be a blessing to them. It'll be a blessing to you. And it'll be a blessing to us. We all know some people who haven't been coming that should be coming. Now we understand there are those who are, because of health, can't come. But there are those who are using the situation as an excuse not to come. Yes, we can be online. And it is a great tool for those who can't be with us. But for those who can, who was not blessed today by something? Not blessed by putting something on the tree, singing familiar hymns, a handshake from a friend, a great warm smile? Or more importantly, God's word that says, do not be afraid. Let us not fear. Let us go and not only discover Christmas, let us go and be Christmas. Let people discover Jesus Christ through us. Go now and be God's people. Go without fear in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.